Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
We have a situation in Africa.
There's been another attack.
You've got bear boys.
Worms.
Sure as hell ain't Mickey Mouse.
From Universal Pictures comes the next chapter in the Tremors saga.
Is that how we're starting? Is that how this begins?
I think it has to be
now. Is that
now.
How this starts?
Hi, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, welcome to Fearworms. I am one of your hosts, David Bell.
I am another of your hosts, Tom Ryman.
I like that we always introduce ourselves. I always think we do that for history's sake, right? Because they know what's up at this point.
Yeah,
they're aware.
You should.
Yeah, but like if you know, everything explodes and some weirdo puts this on a golden record, just this episode.
Yeah,
I want people to know my name. I want the aliens to know what we did here today.
It's the least they could do, really, is acknowledge that I existed.
Yeah, exactly.
You sons of you alien sons of bitches.
Yeah, look at me.
I'm significant.
This is
a Calvin Hobbes comic, actually.
Yeah, probably. This is brought to you by one of our Patreon subscribers, mm-hmm. Aaron Burser, who mm-hmm. has tasked us with watching all of the Tremors movies.
Yep, all six.
All six.
All six and, Tremors.
Yeah, and there's a seventh coming out. There's production photos are being posted as
we
speak by Michael Gross. He's got a real big, he looks like Randy Quaid in the production photos, so that's interesting.
Oh, perfect. That's good. Just a huge beard.
Yeah. As opposed to this one where he looks like John Locke.
He does. He looks a lot like Terry O'Quinn in this movie.
So folks, we're up to movie 5, which is known as Tremors 5 Bloodlines.
Mm-hmm.
I assume nobody has watched it.
It's interesting. This is the longest gap in between Tremors movies.
It is. This was made in 2015, and the previous one, I believe, was made in 2004?
Yep.
Yeah, so this is a Tremors for the new age. This is not your Gen X
this parents' ain't your
Tremors.
Granddaddy's Tremors.
Yeah. This is also significant in that it's the first Tremors without the Stampede Entertainment.
Yeah, it's without the creators, S.S. Wilson and Brent Maddock, I think.
Yeah, although we will get into that because the script actually came from them, or a little bit. It's I guess we'll get to that all in Behind the Worm, but it signified a shift in Universal basically taking over the series, maintaining all creative control.
Yeah. I think the series is lesser for it.
Yes. Well, this is also the first movie of Jamie Kennedy being in the Tremors series. He is in this and the next one.
And in the one that they're currently making.
Yep. And the one they're currently making.
Yeah, yeah.
This needed a reboot. And I know they were trying to with the TV show.
Yeah.
That's what this needs at this point.
I think so. I don't necessarily... This is probably my least favorite one that we've watched.
Are we getting right to Burt's Bullets?
Oh, okay.
But no, I agree.
I sort of forgot the sections. This one is like... It's a pretty big tonal shift.
Yeah, it's trying to be... Yeah, it's they're mentioning stuff like he makes a Breaking Bad reference, and they're trying. Like, one thing I noticed is this is less timeless than the others. Like, the others felt like they fit into their own quaint little world. This one's just like, Twitter, we're modern. And I was just like, nah.
Yeah, it's making pretty specific pop culture references that date it.
And it is ripping off Jurassic Park a lot.
Yeah. A couple of times, just, and I, it was the way they do it. Like, I couldn't, because it's a Universal movie, so I couldn't tell. It's like, do you guys know you're doing this?
Yes.
Do you want us to know you're doing this?
That's the thing, is I think they were supposed to be homages, but they're ripping off parts of the plot, elements of the story, like shots, and it didn't feel like homages. It didn't feel like parody.
It was just it felt like the same thing.
It was like they didn't know we had all seen Jurassic Park.
Right. And like the
and they were like, we can reuse stuff from that.
The first thing I noticed was the helicopter pilot saying something about strange attractors. And I was like, what?
Oh, yeah. I noticed the guy who's like, I'll fully fund your videos for 2 years.
Oh, yeah, for 2 years. And then
helicopter. Then,
Jamie Kennedy negotiates him to 3 years, and that's how much Hammond offered to pay for.
Right. And then, of course, yeah, there's the kitchen seat. Let's talk about the plot.
Okay.
This starts with Jamie Kennedy riding through the desert on a motorcycle.
Just dirt biking through the desert.
And yeah.
Right up top, casting Jamie Kennedy as your co-lead is a big ask.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He is intolerable.
Yep. He's
slightly less annoying than Rob Schneider.
Yes. I was going to say, he's not the worst in this.
He's not the worst, but like I said, he's slightly less annoying than Rob Schneider, so it's not like I want to claw my eyes out every time he's on screen, but every time he's on screen, I definitely side heavily because of something he says or does.
Yeah, I would get nervous whenever he'd approach, like, a woman or child. There's a part where he literally, they're hanging out, and he looks off camera and goes, hey, who's this? And walks
right,
off camera.
Right, it's a little girl!
Yeah, and he sits down next to the kid. I'm like, Jamie, get away from that kid. What right. are you doing?
And he's all, like, he's got, like, these... I'm gonna limit criticisms of the man's physical appearance, but the man has gin blossoms. Like, he looks drunk throughout this entire
movie.
Oh,
yeah. Well, I couldn't tell because they were trying to make him look gruff. You know,
they were, but he's very puffy and red splotchy in his face. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like he looked fucking lit the entire movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, is nobody else noticing this?
Yeah. I did watch the behind the scenes documentary, which we'll get to.
Oh,
I forget what it's called. It wasn't very long.
Oh, okay.
It's called Tremors 5 Behind the Bloodlines. It came with the DVD. And I'm going to say preemptively before we get to Behind the Worm, one of the other problems with having Stampede Entertainment not involved is no one's really paying attention to the behind the scenes as much.
That's
a shame. But this plot, yeah, Jamie Kennedy's stuntman wearing a fake beard.
Right, wearing a glued-on beard and sideburns. He's got these fucking wild-ass sideburns.
It was funny because whenever the stuntman did it, it was so much bushier because they were trying to like disguise the fact that it wasn't Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah.
So it was like made it worse because it was like, oh yeah, that's clearly a man in a fake beard.
Yeah, that's not him. That's not Screams Randy.
Mm-hmm. So he rides up to meet Bert Gummer,
who's in the wilderness filming his own like Man versus Wild show.
Yeah, like, I appreciated that. Yeah, I appreciated that.
It was a good way. It was a good way to get people up to speed.
Yeah, Sands of Hell, it's called. Mm. And yeah, they use the documentary to explain like,
yeah,
oh, this is what happened. Blah blah blah. Then they go to fucking Africa,
mm-hmm.
and there's two guys doing like digging stuff. I forget what. I just remember the guy says, I'm going to drop the kids off at the pool to take a shit, but that only mm-hmm. applies when you have a toilet. There's no pool to drop them off at otherwise.
Right. No, he's just going to go shit in a bush, and then he falls in a giant hole that he somehow didn't see.
Yeah, I love, this is a movie trope, the extremely shallow ancient cave that no one has discovered.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. He falls in that hole, and there's like cave drawings, and it's like, this should probably be like... a landmark, right? It's just been sitting here for anybody to find.
Any old person.
Yeah. Right. So, okay. So it doesn't start with Jamie Kennedy. I remember now because it starts with the Sands of Hell thing.
Yeah.
Then this opener where they get killed by an ass blaster in the cave.
One guy does. Yeah. The other guy becomes a character for a little while.
He sure does. And this is when I thought the movie might be good. is they do the classic Tremors title graphic.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay. And then there's a guy pissing off a cliff. And I was like, oh, like the first. And then that person was Jamie Kennedy. And I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the credits are over him doing bike tricks.
Right, like I, of all the things, I wanted Tremors 5 to be a montage of Jamie Kennedy doing dirt bike stunts was not anywhere on there.
Not one of them. And then the credits say and Michael Gross in the credits, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that worried the shit out of me because I was like, he better not be like not in this.
I think that's a contractual thing.
Okay.
I think it's like a
it's done because he is the star of this movie.
Right. He's the main character and he's in the majority of the scenes. Yeah. Although they do cut around. There's a subplot with the doctor lady who has a bow and arrow and is super badass.
Yeah, she's great. I wanted the movie to be about her.
That's what I
should have been about her.
Like it showed her in the village and all the people coming together to like try to outsmart. I was like, that should be the movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah, 100%. Because, yeah. I think my doorbell just rung. Anyway.
Really?
I'm not going to pick it up. I'm not going to cut this out.
Fuck that. So they fly out. It's this guy hires them. He says he's South African Wildlife Ministry, but he's not really. We find out later that he just wants to steal an ass blaster egg and sell it on the black market.
Yes. Sure. He's like Hammond in the book.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's more like Burke in Aliens.
Yes. Yeah, he's a Burke.
He's super Burke. So they get to Africa. They're at a wildlife refuge, which is where the doctor is, Nandi. And there's a bunch of like locals who like work at this animal refuge. And they start trying to catch the ass blasters. And then what happens? Like the ass blaster shows up at the camp and carries one guy, like one of the guys yeah. we just met away.
What we're learning is that the ass blasters, it's hence the title. It's a different evolutionary version of the graboids.
Yeah. They're scarier.
Yes. I will say the CGI graboids and the CGI ass blasters didn't look bad.
No, they looked, for a no budget sci-fi movie, they looked pretty good.
Yeah, and their design was okay. I liked
the design was pretty cool. Like I liked they. Like I said, they're more frightening.
Yeah, they are. For sure.
This movie definitely. I mean, there's jokes in this movie, but this movie definitely went more in the direction of a monster movie.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Than some of the previous ones did, and I missed. And the tone. My biggest problem with the movie is the tone of the jokes. Like there's Bert drinks his own pee, which I guess makes sense for Bert. Like he would do that if he was in a survival situation.
That was my favorite part. Is just
but then
Bert
he gets pissed on by a lion.
Yeah.
Like 2 seconds later.
It was such a weird choice because they have him say the line, and this was, I think, what made it work is what he said. He said, "Shoot me, kill me, but you won't cage me." And then they cut to him in a cage, mm-hmm. Like, that was, okay, cute gag, but then he does every undignified thing you could possibly think. Like, he's begging and screaming his last will and drinking his piss. I don't know. I appreciated that.
Well, he turns into Colonel Kurtz.
Yes, he does.
And then when he thinks the graboid's coming at him, he's like, I'm going to claw my way down your gullet. Okay, that was pretty good.
I could have watched a whole movie of Michael Gross in his underwear crawling mm-hmm. around a cage dealing with a lion.
Yeah, that was that part was all right.
Yeah, it was still, it's nowhere near as good as the other ones,
and
for sure.
It's basically like all of Jamie Kennedy's jokes, like I feel like he wrote his own jokes because they're all very Jamie Kennedy, and it's just
all
right. Like they're like early, like late 90s, early 2000s edgy TV host jokes.
Yep. And like watching the behind the scenes of this movie, there's those interviews of like, oh, that Jamie Kennedy, when he gets to this set, watch out. You don't know what he's going to do. And like everybody has to talk about how funny he is. And it's kind of painful.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah. And then with the cage scene, he drags him in the cage, which I'm not sure why that happens.
Yeah, like, couldn't he have opened it? Like,
yeah.
Why he does hooked... he drag him behind for, like, it's a like couple a fu- of miles?
Yeah, it's, like, a fun scene, but I was like, I don't know why he's doing this. There's also, there's a lot of little inconsistencies. There's a part where Bert is in the cage. The whole cage scene puzzled me, because mm-hmm. he gets... The bad guy traps him.
Yeah.
The bad... And then he just leaves him there in a cage. And it yeah. was like, okay, not sure why he did that.
I don't know, just to be cruel, just to punish right. him. I don't know.
And then we're showing a cage camera, and Bert is talking to the cage camera, like mm-hmm. a little GoPro. Then the dragging scene happens that I didn't understand.
Yeah.
And then Jamie Kennedy, he's like, how'd you find me? And he's like, cage camera. And he like shows him it, and Bert's surprised that it's there. And it was, I was like, you were talking to it earlier. Like, it was a weird sequence of events that didn't, apparently, I should let you know, they were writing this and doing conferences about it while shooting. So
yeah, that makes sense. Cause there's like three different movies in here.
Yeah.
Like their goals change several times. And there's like two finales.
Yes. Yes, there are.
Like that's another problem is I was never really, it starts out okay, we're trying to catch the graboids, and then it's like, oh, they got an egg and now Bert's locked in a cage, and then after that it becomes, oh, we have to destroy the nest, they destroy the nest, and it's like, oh, we have, there's one more egg we have to destroy, then we have to destroy the queen. I'm like, what is this?
Right, because when they destroyed the nest, I was like, surely the movie's not over, right?
Right,
like, I want it to be, but like, yeah.
Yeah, it was very anticlimactic.
And then there's the kitchen scene from Jurassic Park. They literally yes. show the raptor claw and the
little graboid
the kitchen
claw.
Window shot in the door.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was so weird.
Yeah. And I liked those parts where it was cutting back to the doctor and her friend, I guess, and her
part.
Little kid. Like, sneaking around the refuge while the ass blasters are there. But it kind of like it narratively was weird just to keep jumping back and forth for a while. Like in the middle third of the movie I became really muddled as to what the goal was. Like, I'm like, what are we doing?
I knew some things were going to happen, because at the beginning they're like, little girl, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm using electricity to defeat worms. And it's like, oh, okay, so that's how it's going to happen. And then mm-hmm. they're like, look at that electricity in the sky that happens all the time. And it's like, okay, like, these are things you want me to know about. They both involve electricity defeating worms.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that had to happen at some point. I like that they have detached tentacles now, the graboids, to make rocks unsafe.
Yeah.
That was a good compromise, because they're still, the tentacles, you can kind of take them on, but it makes it so that you can't just hang out on rocks all the time.
What I was expecting in that scene, because it's the evil fake wildlife registry guy who's the bad guy is standing on the rock, and they're like, stay on the rock, you'll be safe. And it was like, it was shot in a way, and the music yes. was cueing in a way that you knew, like, well, something's about to happen.
You thought he was gonna get deep blue seed.
I thought the worm was gonna be so big that it was just gonna come up underneath the rock and eat the whole all.
Oh, that would have been cool.
Yeah,
that's what this franchise needs, honestly, is like giant worm, like,
yeah,
Dune worm.
That I think that might be what happens in the next one.
I hope so,
because on the cover it's enormous. I don't know if it's
it?
Just yeah. I don't know. Of course, it doesn't mean anything, because on the original Tremors cover, it's a little snake mouth. Yeah, that's like huge.
Yeah.
So maybe they'll make him. Yeah, like they needed to. like break the rules somehow. Like there's always. It didn't have that element of. Them like the people and the worms like one-upping each other, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it didn't have that same game that the other movies had, where the people would figure something out and it would work once, and then the worms would outsmart it.
Yeah, oh, for sure. They just sort of at the beginning when they go into Africa, they're like, we confiscated your guns.
Yeah,
and that's sort of how they put Bert at a disadvantage, which was fine. But there's some creative, though. I guess the one creative death is, again, the woman who should have been the main character using a flaming bow and arrow. to ignite a truck as it runs into a worm. I was like, okay, that's great.
That was pretty badass. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking fantastic. We also haven't mentioned, I think, my favorite character in this movie. Can you guess? Can you guess who my favorite character is?
Probably the helicopter pilot, right?
Yes, it's the helicopter pilot.
That guy was amazing.
That guy, I love that Bert immediately takes to him.
Of Bert course is he immediately does.
Like, these are my people.
Yeah, Bert meets that guy. He's like, this guy fucking gets it.
Yeah, the guy
gets it.
The guy's introduced. It's so weird because there's like the Hammond guy, and he's so proper, and then they get this maniac to fly the
right. This
fly
this
the
crazy
helicopter.
Bushman who's like,
yeah. And he's first introduced, he's flying, and Bert leans in and goes, are you drunk?
He's like,
and he
not
says,
yet.
Not yet. Yeah. He gets swallowed later by a graboid, and I remember thinking, no, he'll make it. He'll make
yeah.
it.
Well, I was definitely surprised. But it was one of the best effect shots in the movie.
It was him going into its mouth. Yeah.
Yeah. It looked really cool. But he shotguns his way out of it.
Yeah. And Bert's like, been there, done that. Because as we know, in I believe Tremors 2, he in fact does that.
I think it was 3.
It might have been 3. Yeah.
And it's 3, then that happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was.
The fake tour guide has to carve him out of it with a chainsaw.
Right. Yeah. that never gets old. But yeah, that pilot was great. But I don't understand. They get him to come back to help them, and they don't use the helicopter to leave.
No, he lands it.
Yeah, he lands
like,
it. Gives
are you
them
landing
gas.
It?
Yeah,
like he lands it. Gas. His buddy gets killed.
Yeah.
And he gives him gas. It's like no. Use the helicopter. Fuck the truck.
Right. Fuck the truck.
What do you care about? Did you just pay it off or something? Leave the truck.
Yeah.
Why are you concerned about the truck?
It's so they could have more movie, but it was like, that's silly. That doesn't make any... You can't fly a helicopter.
And also,
just...
he tells Bert when he's flying out there, he's like, I got some rocket pods I took from a MiG. Is that too much? And Bert's like, no, that's perfect. And then Bert seems to forget about them.
He does. He does forget about them. They do come back.
They do come back. They use it to blow up the nest, but like it's Jamie Kennedy's idea because like Bert's like, we're screwed. We're out of ammo. And Jamie's like, no, look. And he points at the thing. He's like, he's got rockets. Like, yeah, he told you he had rockets. You asked him to bring them.
Yeah.
Did you forget about the rockets?
It's so weird.
I remembered the rockets. I was sitting there thinking the whole time, what are they going to use these rockets?
Got to use the rockets. They just used it to kill a bunch of babies in the cave.
Yeah, where they need the cave.
I didn't get the cave. They find the cave and they're like, we have to go in there. And Jamie Kennedy volunteers. Why don't they both go in?
I don't know. And also, Jamie Kennedy doesn't do anything when he gets in there.
He doesn't. He just looks around and quotes Die Hard, which I was like, stop it.
Yeah, don't even do that.
Come to Africa.
It didn't even work because it's like he begged to come. Like he hitched a ride. So it's like... Even making the reference ironically doesn't work.
Yeah, I think that was a brilliant Jamie Kennedy improv.
Yeah.
They kept doing that. There's a part where Jamie Kennedy says something like, what is he? He says, we're going to need a big ass cage. And I was like, you're doing Jaws. You're trying to do Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
Stop doing other movies. It was like that really bothered me.
Yeah, have an original thought.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, for Christ's sake.
And he says, when he asks Bert for the binoculars, he says, give me those spy things.
Right.
Like, do you not know what bomb binoculars are called?
Yeah, I don't know. He's,
Or did you just have a stroke?
It's, man, this movie.
Yeah. It's, It has...
Go on.
I was saying, it has moments.
Oh, for sure. Again, everything with that lady, everything with the people who live in Africa, like, I would have watched the shit out of that. And, like, if it was just, get Jamie Kennedy out of there.
Yeah, get him the hell out. We did not need this character.
Have a guy approach Bert. We haven't even talked about who Jamie Kennedy is in this movie.
Oh, he's Bert's long-lost son.
He is. It revealed in the last, like, 30 seconds, I felt like.
They tease it throughout the film, but...
Yeah. That's why it's called Bloodlines.
It's another reason why it's called Bloodlines.
Double meaning.
Jamie Kennedy literally says Bloodlines.
Yeah, like we made sure we knew. Yeah, the ending is basically the kid steals the egg, like in Jurassic Park 3, and they never get rid of the egg. They never just like, oh, get throw the egg. So the Tremors are, the Graboids are chasing the little girl with the egg because it's their last egg, because they blew up the cave. And at the end, they make the giant lightning worm zapper trap. And that was neat. They
light
it.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
They use lightning to kill the final Graboid.
Yeah, and they set it up earlier with, there's a storm, I forget what they call it, but there's a storm, a short storm that happens at almost exactly the same time every day.
Right.
So they set that up earlier so that when it happens later, we're like, oh, okay, they can use that storm. That's definitely going to be for something. And the scene looks cool. Like, the effects were cool.
The effects were cool in this, I thought. They weren't bad. I was surprised by the effects.
I will say, this is, like I said, this is probably my least favorite movie, but it might be the best looking of the sequels.
Yeah, and I know they used some practical effects as well. They don't, like, do the CGI dirt that the other one did, that number four did.
Yeah, I think they did for some shots, but other shots, like, When the queen worm comes into the electricity trap and knocks over like the observation tower, that was all practical.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And then they added in the big CG worm, of course, for the one shot. But it's a cool shot.
It is a cool shot. Yeah, there's some competence.
Yeah, no, it's not. This film is not poorly made. It has script problems for sure.
Yes,
it kind of wanders.
Yes, it did feel like it wasn't leading to anything.
Exactly, yeah.
It was just, let's go here, now let's go here, now let's go here.
Right.
We haven't even talked about the archaeologists.
Oh, well, they don't matter. They're like the doctor and his wife in the first movie. They're just true. There to die.
It was another Jurassic Park moment. I thought they were going to be characters because they introduced them like fucking Alan Grant.
They introduce them like Sam Neill and Laura Dern where they're uncovering a Graboid skeleton.
Yeah, and they're like making a significant discovery about it, which is used to like set up the Graboids later. And then they have sexy archaeology time.
Yeah, they have archaeologist sex and they're out in their portable shower.
I did not think it was the same people. They cut to later them like drinking champagne in bathing suits. And I was like, oh, who's these characters now? And it was like, wait, those are the same archaeologists. What are they doing? And they're like going to get it on in an outdoor shower?
Yeah, my favorite part of them was when they've uncovered the thing, the big skeleton, and they're like talking about, yeah, we just made a huge find. And then the lady archaeologist says, we're going to be on the cover of Science magazine.
Yeah.
That might well be a magazine, but that's the dumbest name for a magazine.
Oh, yeah. There's a science magazine, but yeah, it is the worst. You can see a screenwriter just be like, what's a magazine scientists would be on? Science magazine. I love that they're both also just like, they're just like very pretty, not great actors who is just like, nope, these aren't archaeologists.
No, not at all. They're also both like in their 20s.
Yeah, like nothing
like
about
you guys,
them.
You guys would not be out in Africa alone on a dig in your 20s.
They're like the porn version of, like the porn parody of Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
They're just like, it's so silly. And then later when they're in bathing suits and having sex, I was like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It all makes sense.
And their death scene looks like a Skinamax porno.
Yeah,
for sure. The way that it's shot, because they didn't want to show anything, so it's close-ups on alternating between the two of them holding the rim of the shower and like just writhing their backs back, like arching their backs backward. Like if you took out the scary music, it could be a sex scene. Like you're like, oh, these people are fucking.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
It was like so
some blood.
Strange.
Yeah. Also, just skipping back to the end, if you don't think bike stunts are coming back, they come back at the end.
Yeah. If you know this movie series, they don't introduce anything that doesn't come back.
Yeah. I do love when the kid, they find the kid and she's surrounded by the tentacles, detached tentacles, and their first instinct is to run away from her. and get on the truck and like save themselves like cowards.
Yeah, like cowards.
And then they're like, the tentacles won't hurt her. She has the egg. And it's like, you didn't know that when you first saw it.
Yeah.
You weren't, nobody was going to save that little girl. They were just going to let her get gobbled up.
And how do you know the tentacles won't hurt her? Why wouldn't they just kill her and take the egg?
Exactly. I don't, it was dumb. It's dumb.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yep.
You fucking adults, what are you doing? What are you doing?
What the fuck are you doing? Movie.
So the queen, they use the electricity trick to get the queen to come out of the ground, and then they all start shooting it, and then it gets struck by lightning and explodes, and it's awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome. No idea why it got struck by lightning, but whatever.
Who cares?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. That was great.
It was awesome.
See, all they needed to do, I think if you just took Jamie Kennedy out of this film,
or
it's not, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of Jamie Kennedy.
No, not at all.
But even if I were, I would still argue that taking him out of this film makes it better, because he felt unnecessary as a character.
He was very unnecessary. They tried to have some thing between him and the doctor, but it's like, no, she has a thing with this guy, and he like mans up and saves her daughter. Like, they have a whole story, so it's like, why did we even care
what right, and the father-son
Jamie
stuff,
felt about this?
Yeah, the father-son like, stuff was like, eh.
Yeah,
he was written in the script as 25, by the way, and they changed it to 40 because Jamie Kennedy. Yeah.
Not 25.
No, I think they should have simplified it. You know what they should have done? They should have started in Africa. They have a graboid problem, and they're like, we're calling in a guy. Like, stay with the people in Africa, establish them as new main characters.
Right.
And then they call in a guy, and it's Bert.
Yeah, have Bert come in act two, like Michael Douglas in The Ghost in the Darkness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then have a whole adventure, and with, like, I loved her with a fucking bow and arrow taking
she
on
was
graboids.
Fucking awesome.
She
that
was
bow and
the
arrow.
Coolest.
I was
like, it was that
was
when
like,
they,
yeah. Go ahead.
When they showed her with the bow and arrow, I was like, wait, well, you had this the whole time movie, and you're not making this the film?
They do make, she does get to use that bow and arrow a lot, so at least there's that. But yeah, like, see, I was like, who is this actress? Like, I looked her up. She hasn't really been in much.
She deserves to be in more.
Yeah, she should be in fucking more. Give her this bow and arrow. Ever. Put her in the next Tomb Raider. Who gives a shit?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was fantastic.
Yeah.
So this movie has a lot of moments in it that I was like, oh, this is either awesome or this should have been more the movie.
Yeah.
And we haven't even talked about like the asshole guide hunter who talks such a big game
and
sucks.
Big idiot. Yeah.
He gets killed by a flaming ass blaster.
This is the funniest, one of the funniest parts is Bert shoots the ass blaster and it explodes and falls on the guy, and Bert does not react.
No, he doesn't.
He
no
just
one really
killed a man.
Yeah, I mean, the guy should have moved. He had time to move.
Yeah, and he was like shitty Muldoon.
Yes, shitty Muldoon. Well, he was exactly actually, because Muldoon also just got his ass handed to him.
Right, but at least like Muldoon did stuff and wasn't a clown. Like, this guy was just a fucking clown.
He really was, because it was so weird, because I thought he and Bert were going to become friends because they had that like rivalry, but they were both badasses.
It
was like, oh no, he's just not a badass.
Yeah, he's just not a badass. Yeah.
Like the graboid or the ass blaster lands on his windshield and he's like, ah!
He just starts shrieking for Bert to help him. It's like, I thought you were like an arch fucking bushman. You can't kill this thing?
You
like,
have
he's,
guns.
So he's bragging about shooting rhinos and lions and shit. I'm like, fucking smoke this thing.
It was weird because they didn't make it like a comedic turn. It wasn't him being like, oh, I'm a coward, I admit it. You know, it wasn't any of that. It was just like, he just sort of sucked.
I think that might have been the intent, because he does shoot the ass blaster with a dart, and when it doesn't work, he just runs away.
Mm, that's true.
So I think that was the intent. They didn't hit it as hard.
They sort of botched it.
Yeah, they could have made him more, I don't want to say Hudson because Hudson rules, but like more of a more overt that like, oh, this guy just falls to pieces.
Yeah.
Like,
more pilot.
Dak Pilot was so awesome.
They should have had, again, they should have cut out the weird, the coward guy. I don't think they needed Hammond. He didn't add anything. I didn't think, that guy, he seemed like a fine actor, but he wasn't a convincing villain for me.
No, and when they find him later, when he's just running through the desert dragging the egg case, he is committed to clutching the cigar in his mouth, even as he's shrieking for his life. It was so weird.
You got to have that cigar.
Yeah, man. He can't drop his stogie.
Yep.
I think you still could have had those characters. It was just, it was weird to kill the villain like 20 minutes before the end of the film.
Yeah. Well, he didn't feel like the villain. He wasn't like, right. Yeah, I always had that suspicion like, oh, he's an evil poacher, isn't he? But he wasn't like, you know, the Graboids are the villains.
Yeah. And I guess you only really need those. I mean, you just need those characters in it so that the Graboids can eat somebody that we don't care about.
Eat a dickhead.
Yeah. Chomp on a dickhead.
Chomp on a dickhead. Yeah. So I don't know, man. This film.
The script needed a polish.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It's currently free on Amazon Prime, I believe. So
I had to rent it.
Oh, maybe it's Stars. Maybe it's free on Stars.
I think it's Stars. Yeah, I don't have a Stars subscription here. The sixth one is free on Netflix. Right.
Oh, that's good.
As of right now.
That's good.
But I think if you have Stars, that all the Tremors movies are on Stars.
Yes, they are. And that's good for me specifically.
Yep.
Yeah.
So should we, what's our next section?
All right, I think we thoroughly covered the plot here.
Oh yeah.
Let's go into us versus them first, because that's a pretty short one.
Yeah, there's actually not much of a body count in this one.
There's the cave guy at the beginning. There's
cave
the two
at the beginning.
Two sexy archaeologists.
Sexy archaeologists.
The guy who dies on the bridge, he gets picked up by an ass blaster.
Yeah. What was it? Saba? Something, I forget.
Something like that.
The coward guy. Yeah, the coward hunter.
The co-pilot,
the guy in the store that the doctor tries to save,
and
then
Hammond.
And I think that's
eight.
It.
Yeah, that's eight. Versus, I know there was one ass blaster, I forget where, the one that Bert shot, I think.
The one that Bert shoots.
The one in the kitchen.
The one that the doctor shoots.
The one that Jamie Kennedy kills with a grenade in the
cave. That's three ass blasters. And then I think there's three worms.
Well, there's one more ass blaster on the roof that they shoot and blood comes down.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's four. Then there's two Graboids.
I think there's two. There's the one that the doctor
killed
blows up
car.
With the truck. And then there's the queen that gets struck by lightning.
Yeah. So that's four. However, they kill a lot of babies.
They do. They nuke an entire nest.
Yeah. So we're going to have to give that, I think, to the people, to the humans.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
For killing all them babies.
They kill two eggs, get destroyed, and then we see like one clutch of maybe four or five eggs explode, although we're to assume that there's a lot of those clutches in that cave.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
The humans definitely win this one.
Yeah. All right. Behind the worm, then.
Yeah.
I found a little bit. Like I said, there's not that much.
Yeah, all I saw was that what you had mentioned at the beginning was that originally S.S. Wilson and Brent Maddock were going to make this movie, and they had written a script, but then they decided to not do the project because they weren't going to have total creative control.
Yeah, what happened, according to Michael Gross, according to an interview with him, they had created the script a decade before. So probably as they made the one in 2004, they had this idea.
Mm-hmm.
And the series kind of died, and Michael Gross just assumed he was done. And Patty Jackson, who was the producer of a lot of these, who's a big Tremors fan, told Michael Gross, no, I'm going to make it. We're going to get another. And he didn't believe it. And Patty Jackson basically convinced Universal to make more. And I assume part of the way to convince him was basically taking away creative control over the original people and making it more like a Sharknado type direction, I think.
This is not, I wouldn't call this Sharknado. This is not
I wouldn't either. Michael Gross was very much part of the creative process as well. He had a lot of notes. He helped develop it. On set, according to Tremors 5, Behind the Bloodlines, he did co-writes about on the script to preserve his character, the character of Bert.
That's one of the things I was thinking of when watching this movie. Yeah. I was like, man, it's 2015 when this movie is made. We're almost 20 years. Oh, almost 30 years removed from the original film. And his character has stayed pretty consistent.
Yeah, that's all Michael Gross. They quote him saying that he would say Bert wouldn't say that on set.
He would know.
Yeah, he would know. He's like Bruce Willis on Die Hard.
Yeah.
He preserves the character. This was directed by Don Michael Paul, who is best known for one of the Scorpion King sequels, Jarhead 2, Kindergarten Cop 2, and one of the Death Race sequels.
These are all Universal direct-to-video projects.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Fine. Watching the making of this, they all seemed like they were having a lot of fun. And so you can't fault them for that, where they're just like, yeah, we're in Africa.
No,
they shot in Africa.
They shot it on an actual animal preserve.
Yeah, it was going to take place originally in Australia, I guess, and then they moved it to Africa. It has five writers, or maybe four writers. M.A. Deuce,
Medeuce,
William Truesmith, and C.J. Stripper. I bring those three up because they have only one credit, and it's this film. Some of them get story by, so I don't know what's going on there. John Whipley is the main name here because he wrote Tremors 4, and he wrote the next Tremors.
Gotcha.
He also wrote episodes of Fantasy Island and MacGyver.
All right.
Yeah. Michael Gross says that they had the largest budget since the first film for this.
I believe it. Like I was saying, this movie is probably the best looking at the Tremors sequels, and it's competently made. Like it's technically fine. Like it looks good.
It made $2.5 million home domestic.
It looks like it cost more than that, but all right.
Yeah, oh no, I'm sure it did. I am confident that it didn't do great.
No, it looks like it cost at least $5 million.
Yeah.
But
Jamie
who can
Kennedy
say?
Had a interview that he bonded a lot with Michael Gross. He said, Michael Gross is a very educated man, despite the character of Bert. They got stuck in Paris trying to get there. And he realized Michael Gross spoke French. They bonded a lot. They spent every night having dinner by themselves, watching animals. Sounds like a great time. They're in Africa filming. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're on this wildlife preserve. The lion's name was Monty.
Sweet. He's really in the shot with that lion, too. I mean, he's in a cage.
Yeah. But they said the lion was fine.
Some balls on Michael Gross.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's got some gross balls.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be that close to a lion, cage or not.
They probably told you. Yeah, like that's the thing is like, yeah, don't you stick your fingers out, all that. But the lion will probably piss on him at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Like for real, not for pretensies. They said the worst animal to work with was a zebra, which makes sense. They're just horses.
Yeah.
They're just exotic horses, but they're fucking terrible. Fuck zebras.
Yeah, seriously, man. Fuck those zebras.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's all I got, because I think this one and the next one, I think Universal, because Stampede Entertainment was very big on behind-the-scenes stuff, and they're passionate about Tremors, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Universal taking over was probably like, look, just don't go over budget. And that was probably all they cared about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. They put out like a 15-minute behind the scenes thing.
Okay.
And I found some interviews, and that's about it.
Let's see.
I am looking forward to the next one, to be honest.
Sure. I think it takes place in the Arctic.
Yeah, Ice Tremors.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good place to bring it, you know.
Who can? I'm combing some IMDb shit. So take this or leave it. It may or may not be true. But according to IMDb trivia, Kevin Bacon had initially expressed interest in returning to the franchise, but ultimately decided to pass.
Mm. I think that makes sense. This was probably, 10 years after the last one.
Mm-hmm.
He was probably seeing that monster movies and reboots and stuff are happening. And he was like, I could go for another Tremors.
Well, and he does around this time is when he did the pilot for the Tremors show reboot.
And I hope that doesn't discourage him. I hope he gives it another go. You know?
Yeah, I'd like to see.
I want to see this franchise soft reboot. Because I don't want Michael Gross gone.
No, not at all.
I think I don't know how to soft reboot it, but I think they need to go more.
You shift the focus away from him, I think. And like this movie had the beginnings of it. Like you had suggested, if they had started in Africa with a new set of characters and then introduced Bert midway through, that might have been a way to go.
Yeah, and focused on this town and the community.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been fun. Yeah, that's all I have for Behind the Worms. Is it time for Bert's Bullets?
I think it's time for Bert's Bullets.
So we're given a rating for each film.
Yeah.
Between 1 and 5, 5 the most bullets being the best, 1 being the least. So obviously the first Tremors got a 5, Tremors 2 got a 4.5, Tremors 3 got a 3.5, Tremors 4 got a 2.5.
Yeah.
I think you can sense the pattern there. Tom, what would you give Tremors 5?
Either a 2.5 or a 3.
I agree. I'm going to say a 3. Because we've been talking about this movie a lot more than Tremors 4. And Tremors 4 has more charm to it because it's the original creators.
Yeah.
But it was kind of boring. That boring.
No, it's not. Its biggest problem is that it's pretty wandering. Like I said, it seems like there's three different climaxes and the goal keeps changing. But it doesn't drag.
Yeah. It honestly has some of my favorite characters since Tremors. The helicopter pilot and that lady.
Oh, for sure.
Are two of my they're my favorite, of the sequels. But they are canceled out by one of my least favorite characters.
Fucking Jamie Kennedy. Which is Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah. This movie could have been really good. And it's only, okay.
Yeah.
It's a solid 3 out of 5. It's more than half good.
Yeah, it's mostly, if you're a Tremors fan, it's well made. There's some good effects in it. You just have to withstand freaking Jamie Kennedy's ass.
Yeah, if you're a huge Jamie Kennedy fan, this is the movie for you. If you like seeing half-naked men get pissed on, this is also for you, if that's your thing.
If you like seeing sitcom legend Michael Gross getting pissed on.
Yeah, and drinking his own piss.
Totes for you. I was trying to find the budget of this film. I can't find it anywhere.
No, they don't want us to know.
Yeah. They'll tell us how much it made, but it definitely...
I think it was less than Tremors. Tremors was $11 million.
Tremors was $11 million. Tremors 2 was $4 million.
Yep. So I say between 4 and... Based off what Michael Gross said, that it's like their best budget, the largest budget and most time spent on it since the first film, to me means it doesn't have... He didn't say it's a better budget than the first film. So that has me believe it's like $10 million.
Probably around there.
Yeah.
Maybe 5 to 8.
Yeah, 5 to 8. I could see that for sure.
Yep. All right, so that's a 3. I wound up enjoying this movie more than I thought I was going to. It's
same here.
Might be now. I'm gonna have to. I don't know. Like I started this off saying it's my. I think it's my least favorite of the sequels, but it's definitely. It doesn't have the charm of Tremors 4, but it's definitely not as boring as Tremors 4 was. In parts.
Yeah, I think I like it more than Tremors 4.
It's more. I think it's more watchable.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's why I'm a little excited for the next one because I'm like maybe things pick up. I mean, Jamie Kennedy's still in it, and there's nothing we can do about that.
Terrible ass. Yeah. W.C. Fieldsing all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's it. Yeah, I think we've done it.
Yeah, I think we did it. Guys, special thanks to Aaron Burser for making this happen.
Aaron Burser.
He's given us quite a task, and I've enjoyed it so far. We're almost to the end, folks. It's bittersweet. One more episode.
Yeah.
Of Fearworms.
And then we're going to have to say goodbye to it, like we said goodbye to Briscoe.
It's true. Goodbye to Briscoe.
Goodbye, Briscoe.
If you are interested in producing your own podcast for us, or you can suggest a We Just Watch, or you can make us do a We Just Watch. Mm-hmm. You can watch movies with us every Friday. These are all tiers of our Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We also have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. Mm-hmm. So go there, swish around in it. See what you like.
Roll around in it, get it between your toes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get some in your ears, in your eyes.
Let it piss on you.
Let it piss into your face like a majestic African lion.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed. Where you can get t-shirts, stickers, and prints and stuff like that. We're always adding new things. We got some new designs on the way. So check that ish out.
Yeah. And again, check out Tremors 5 if you like, piss play.
If you like piss play.
Yeah, and Michael Gross.
Those two things specifically. Yeah, this will really do it for you.
This will really scratch an itch for you.
Yeah.